people, listen, please. If your life were to end today, where would you spend eternity?
Welcome to the Cross Currents Radio Show, your spiritual speaker's corner, broadcast, and podcast. Does your faith in the past affect your fate in the future? Does your belief about what happened in history in any way inform the reality of what will happen to you today and tomorrow? Special creation or accidental evolution? Does it really matter? These are the age-old questions we're asking and answering in this series of TCC Radio. We'll first be in the studio with Calvin Smith, an expert on the creation-evolution controversy. And then, as always, we'll take the conversation to the street, this time to hear what average everyday Canadians have to say about the controversial topic of God's creation history. Finally, we'll start and finish by submitting our thoughts to the Lordship of Christ as we teach and preach Him alone as the sovereign Creator and King of all. And now, let's join TCC Radio host Corey McKenna in the studio.
Hi, I'm Corey McKenna. Welcome again to the Cross Current Radio Show and part three of our special series called Going Back to the Future on the subject of biblical authority and history. I'm again joined in the studio by Calvin Smith, speaker with Creation Ministries International and co-host of CMI's TV show Creation Magazine Live, which can be watched free online at creation.com and on the Miracle Channel. Well, thanks again for joining us, Cal.
Good to be here, Corey.
Just a quick recap of the road traveled so far. In part one of the series, we talked about origins and how our belief about where we've come from, either special creation or cosmic accident, ultimately determines our belief about where we're going when we die. Then last time in part two, we talked biblical biology, how all the varieties of animals and plants came to be on the earth, and again, why the truth of this history really matters. And that brings us now to part three, where we'll dig deep, no pun intended, by talking about biblical geology, the history of Noah's flood, and how one watery disaster changed everything. Right out of the gate, let's talk about the age of the earth and why it matters. I mean, really, Cal, there are credible Christians on both sides of this young earth, old earth issue, so aren't we only being divisive by continuing to debate about it?
Well, when you use the word divisive, what you're talking about is, okay, we've got a commonality, and now we're breaking that commonality. But what is the commonality between brethren? Of course, we've got different views on different theological stances, etc. But no matter what the denominational view, each person is going to argue from the words of Scripture to try to justify why they have these views. But when we get into the old earth, young earth creation debate, what people do is they hold to an old earth not because of what Scripture says, but because of what supposed science has shown. So you're actually using a different authority to justify your interpretation of Scripture. So as a biblical creationist, I would say, look, I don't care what science says. I care what the Scripture says. It's a matter of biblical authority. And so when we look at these rock layers around the world, these rock layers are either the result of millions of years of geologic processes or the result of a global flood. They can't be both. So either a vast amount of time has elapsed since the earth was formed or a major geological catastrophe took place. Well, what does the Bible support? Bible talks about a global flood. As far as our theology goes, why does this matter? Well, very clearly, why did Jesus have to come and shed his blood on the cross for sinners? I mean, why? Well, when you look at the Scripture, it's very clear that God created a perfect world, that sin and death entered at the time when Adam sinned. That's when death entered. We read that in Romans 5:12. Through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all have sinned. Some old earth creationists say, yeah, but that verse is talking about people, okay? People didn't die before but animals died. Well, when you look at Genesis 1:29 and 30, when God's giving command of what everything should eat in the beginning, he says that all the beasts of the earth are going to eat plants in the beginning. See, in the beginning, there was no death, no bloodshed. Everything was eating plants. Plants don't shed their blood in the same way that people and animals do. There's the whole terminology, nephesh. It's ascribed to animals and people. It's you know, something that has the breath of life and sheds their blood, etc. So everything's eating plants in the beginning. And so when we look at the fossil record, and it's got a record of death and suffering and where animals have been tearing each other to pieces, if that all happened in the first 6 days of creation, and of course, old earth creationists would say that those are millions and billions of years, not real days, then you've got a record of death before Adam sinned. And as far as this whole argument about people not dying before Adam sinned, well, evolutionists have now said that the oldest modern human that they've found is 196,000 years old. So if you're taking this secular interpretation of data, old earth creationists now have to say that there were fully modern human people dying before Adam sinned. This is a huge, huge issue to our theology. For example, if you're going to say that the flood did not create the rock layers, that it was a local flood, well, Genesis 9:11 says, I established my covenant with you. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. But if that flood was local, well, we've seen hundreds and hundreds of mega floods since that verse was written. So God would have lied if it was a local flood. It had to be a global flood. Take the prophecy in 2 Peter 3, 3-6. It says, in the last days, scoffers will come. They deliberately forget that long ago by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. If you're going to relegate this flood to a local flood, what this verse is saying is that in the last day, scoffers will come and deny a local flood. Well, scoffers don't deny a local flood. They deny a global flood. Every time you see Discovery Channel or something like that, and they're trying to explain away Noah's flood, they always say, oh, it was a local flood in Mesopotamia somewhere. Some guy got his farm animals on a raft, etc. So huge, huge implications here to our theology in believing in old earth creationism.
Well, that is the voice of Calvin Smith with Creation Ministries International. Now, Christian, if you're listening to this, this is truly about biblical authority. We know that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. We're born again through the imperishable seed of God's Word, which is the good news, Scripture says, that was preached to us. And biblical authority presupposes that God's Word is actually true. Why would I submit to that authority? Because God has overwhelmed my unbelief, and I believe God's Word to be true. And we're asked all the time, well, how do you know God's Word's true? We know God's Word's true because He reveals it to us by His Spirit. But here's what's really important, Christian. Hear this. We also know God's Word's true because when we're asked questions about the world around us, about our fundamental beliefs, we can answer them consistent with what is really true with God's Word. And we find that when we talk to skeptics, they can't do that. They have a foolish worldview. But Christian, this goes to you as well, that if you do not surrender certain areas to the Lordship of Christ and the way you read the Bible, if you're picking and choosing, if you're a little bit syncretistic, you're importing ideas into Scripture, you're going to have a chink in your armor. And I will guarantee you it will be exposed on the battlefield. So this goes to you as well, that submit to the Lordship of Christ in every area, starting from the very first verse. Well, I want to hold that thought because we again hit the streets to hear from everyday Canadians about biblical biology, and we received some fascinating feedback. Let's roll that.
In the studio and on the street with the Cross Current Radio Show.
So it's Jeff with TCC Radio. And I have found a willing participant, and his name is?
Max Van Horn.
Thanks, Max. I introduced myself a little bit, told you that we're like a spiritual speaker's corner, and we just engage the culture on certain topics. This series is on creation evolution, and actually tonight we're talking about geology. Okay? So not long ago, Hollywood producer Darren Aronofsky produced a multi-million-dollar movie called Noah. Did you see the movie or hear about it?
I watched it a few times, actually.
You did, and it starred Russell Crowe, so we're on the same page. Okay. Do you think the story of Noah is true?
Absolutely.
Do you know why Noah's flood happened?
Yeah, the earth at that time was full of sin. It was drastic measures, and evil was overtaking. To get like really into the different families and, you know, which family was actually prevailing. It was the evil side, and God had enough, and like the rainbow and everything, you know, God promised that he would never flood the earth again. So absolutely, I believe it's true. And
so you'd agree that God judged the world at that time?
For sure, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, Nick and I don't run into a lot of people that would even use the term sin these days, but obviously you did. Okay, so if God judged the world today, do you believe that you'd be saved, Max?
I do.
And why is that?
I don't follow the masses. I don't follow people that aren't putting themselves forward. I think in a failing way. You know, I think we live in a world where everyone likes to pretend that they have it right. And I think the person that accepts fear and accepts contradiction of self in a way where you have to reach out and understand the spiritual, understand God, I do believe that I'd be saved. I do.
So with that, just not to mix your words, but because, like, would you consider yourself or think yourself to be good enough or like a good person?
I do, actually, yeah. I mean, I sin all the time, but I speak to God. I pray every night. I read the Bible right when I wake up in the morning, and I read it right before I go to sleep.
Can I ask what you're reading today?
It's actually Hebrews, Hebrews 3, 1 through 19, I believe it was. I'll be reading it again tonight. Usually in the morning time, you got a lot coming in your mind, right? So you try to take it all in, but I find in the evening, that's when you actually really, you understand the reading a little better. But, like, what about the reading?
No, that's okay. So, could you just, in a few words and whatnot, just explain to me, and for our listeners, because we really pray and believe that there's people that don't know the Lord, don't know of His saving grace. Could you just explain, you know, how you got saved and what that is?
I think it's truly the upbringing of your family and your siblings. I think I'm really, really lucky because a super faithful and devout mother, and my father as well. But I'd say more my mom. So what's the question again?
No, that's okay. I was just sort of a synopsis of your explanation of how you got saved or became a Christian.
So I've always went to church. You know, I mean, I missed church for probably in total maybe a year through my 20 years of life. And I stopped going when I was about 18 years old only because then it was an option. And I realized really quick that I wasn't feeling any better for missing. And I lived in Europe for a little bit, and I would go to Mass when it wasn't even in English. I just went just to go to the house of the Lord, right? So I definitely had some pretty wild years in my life. So there was times of, you know, maybe self-doubt and being worthy or being saved or even actually being so clouded in the mind that you don't even think about it, which is the scariest thing, right? But I truly think, you know, surrounding yourself with good people is the major thing. You know, if you have people around you that aren't willing to even speak about God or have a vision of what their future may hold, that can take you down the wrong path. And for me, being saved, I think it's stretching and taking chances in life and always coming back to the source, always coming back to the root of why we're here. You know, there's not a life on this earth that isn't important, you know. So
now I'm interested, earlier on in the conversation you said that you sin all the time. So in God's word it says that we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And for example, no liars, no thieves, no adulterers, no murderers shall inherit the kingdom. So if you're like me and I sort of track my life with God's law or the Ten Commandments, if God judged you and found sin in your life, how can you then be saved from His judgment, Max?
How can I be saved from His judgment? I have a personal relationship with the Lord. I'm not afraid to admit that I need help, and whether it's, you know, trusting in someone else to speak to or if it's just having a conversation on a daily basis and admitting your sins. I'm not saying I'm perfect or I'm more righteous than any other person, but I just feel that this world is full of divine connections. So for me, I can't go away. The Lord will not leave me. He won't let me go.
Will you be with God in heaven? The Bible says that the price of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So how many times have you sinned? How many times have you lied, lusted, stolen, hated, and used God's name in vain? Because every time you have, you've sinned against holy God, alienating yourself from Him. Even your thinking is against Him. You will face the second death, which is eternity in the lake of fire. But Jesus Christ paid for sins, taking them and God's wrath against sinners upon Himself. He shed His blood and died on the cross in place of sinners, and then He rose from the grave, defeating sin and death, just as the Scriptures foretold that He would. To be reconciled to God, you must repent and trust that Jesus died for your sins. Your sins will be forgiven, God will grant you eternal life, and you will spend forever with God in heaven. Isn't that good news?
Hi, this is Corey McKenna, president of The Cross Current, and you're invited to my online personal witness workshop. For just $19, you can tap into my 10-plus years of hit-and-miss experience to learn the basics of biblical evangelism. In just 1 hour, I'll teach you disarming and winsome ways you can open Scripture with your non-Christian family and friends, and simple, field-tested techniques to relationally sow the seed of God's Word in their hearts. To join me from the comfort of your own computer, register at GoShareChrist.com. That's GoShareChrist.com. Let's get better equipped to go share Christ together.
Canada needs Christ. Praise God for overseas missions, but with the nations now among us, will you give for more to go locally, right here at home? After equipping churches all across Canada to share Christ together for Canada 150, the Cross Current is further expanding our evangelism and equipping ministry across the airwaves and the web. In addition to hearing TCC Radio, Christians will be equipped through our webinars and online workshops to share Christ with their own family, friends, and neighbors. Imagine the impact your gifts will make for all of us sharing Christ in Canada together. To give, go to thecrosscurrent.com/give or call toll-free 1-888-96-CROSS. That's 1-888-962-7677. We thank God for you and your partnership in His gospel.
Creation Ministries International staff, many from a wide variety of scientific disciplines, have produced thousands of articles now available in a massive online database containing more than 8,000 articles. New articles are added daily. Got questions? Get answers at creation.com.
Hello, this is Paul Washer, and you're listening to the Cross Current Radio Show.
Welcome back to the studio of TCC Radio. With me is Calvin Smith, speaker with Creation Ministries International and co-host of CMI's TV show Creation Magazine Live. Okay, Cal, with the time we have left, I'd like to talk about the truth of Noah's flood, both scientifically and spiritually. We've touched on that a little bit, but we want to dig deeper. Let's start scientifically. How is the evidence of rocks and fossils we see today consistent with the history of Noah's flood as revealed in Scripture?
Well, it's interesting that up to about 200 years ago, before Charles Lyell's uniformitarianism became very popular in geology, the overwhelming consensus amongst Christians was that the Earth was very young, that the rock layers containing dead things we see, fossils all over the world, were the result of the catastrophic deluge recorded in the Bible. Now, when Charles Lyell really championed this concept of uniformitarianism, the present is the key to the past, the way he was describing the rock layers as having come into being was that you might lay one or two of these varves, these layers down, these very fine, fine sedimentary layers down, and it was basically a mathematical formula. If you just add up these layers, when each one of these layers took one or two, one or two of these took per year, it must have taken millions of years to lay down the rock layers. And this is how people got convinced that the Earth was very old.
just to be clear, this presupposes no global flood, no catastrophe of any sort. Things were consistent as they were from the beginning. I think Peter writes about that a little bit.
Exactly. Charles Lyell, in letters that he wrote to a friend of his, Poulett Scrope, he actually said that one of his chief aims was to free the science from Moses, free the science of geology from Moses. He wanted to detach it because he knew that most people believed geology was tied to Scripture because it was this great flood. That was what would explain it. So he had an agenda. He was a professionally trained lawyer. He knew how to argue, etc. So this concept of slow sedimentation over millions of years, when you apply that to the physical evidence that we observe, creationists were quick to point out that all over the world we find what are called polystrate fossils, fossils that extend through several layers. For example, my wife is from Nova Scotia. If you go to Nova Scotia or New Brunswick, you've got the Bay of Fundy. They've got the highest tides in the world there. Water comes in very quickly, comes out very quickly, and it erodes the cliff face very quickly. Sometimes at Joggins, I've gone down there fossil hunting, etc., you can see tree-like plants that are 30 feet tall, extending vertically through the sedimentary layers. Well, you know, geologists were talking about deposition rates of like 5,000 years per centimeter to lay down a centimeter of rock. It just, it's beyond belief, really, that a tree or a plant could stand upright for millions and millions of years as the rock gradually built up around it. Even a fish that was, 2 or 3 centimeters thick, we've all seen that classic picture of the fish going along, fish dies, gets to the bottom of the ocean, and then it gets covered slowly in sediment and becomes fossilized. Well, fish don't fossilize slowly. You have to cover an organism completely and rapidly in order for it to have a chance of fossilization. And so if you've got a 30-foot tall tree, what needed to happen in order for that tree to become fossilized is it all had to be covered rapidly. 30 feet of sediment extending hundreds of kilometers in some cases like Grand Canyon, that would have been a flood just beyond. Well, it's not beyond description, it's recorded in Scripture, but that is not a slow and gradual process.
Now, for you listening, please realize I've only asked Cal to give us a couple obvious examples. You need to visit creation.com and search this out. There are a multitude of evidences that are consistent with the history of Noah's flood. I mean, again, we're just literally scratching the surface on this issue. But what we want you to hear, Christian, is that you can, with biblical authority and certainty, you can step out into the world and declare passionately that the Bible's true from the very first verse, and that's hopefully what you're needing to understand as we dialogue about this. Now, Cal, in John chapter 4, we see Jesus, the master evangelist, starting in the natural before swinging to the spiritual when he was sharing the good news with the woman at the well. He started with well water before swinging to living water, and that's actually the biblical framework we follow here on TCC Radio. We start in the natural and then swing to the spiritual on the street with other subjects, and I'm hoping, Cal, that you can help us do that here in the studio with the water of Noah's flood. So what is the spiritual significance of Noah's flood, both then for Noah and now for us?
Well, when we look at the scripture, we understand that Noah was commanded by God to build an ark, a vessel of salvation, that all the animals would come on board, 2 of every 7 of some creatures that God brought to Noah. Noah wasn't a zookeeper. He wasn't running around picking up animals. They were brought by God. God sent the ones he wanted to. And in the New Testament, we read that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He wasn't just a boat builder. He had a long time to build that boat. I'm sure he had a lot of help doing it. People would have taken his money to build that boat. But he was a preacher of righteousness. He was going around telling people that there was a coming judgment. And if people did not submit to that revelation that they needed to get on board this ark, that was the only way that they could be saved, that they were going to be destroyed in this flood.
Just a side note, this is sounding very familiar at this point. Keep going.
Yeah, very familiar. Many familiar things. As a matter of fact, the ark, if you look at the construction of that huge ship, there was only one door on that boat. And the Bible says that God himself closed that door. There was a time when Noah was preaching righteousness, that people could be saved, that they could have freely come on board, they could have come through that door, but they chose to rebel and say, no, I don't accept the revelation of God, and there's no such thing as a global flood, that's not going to happen, etc. And God himself closed that door. So there will come a time when God will withhold his offer of salvation. Of course, when we read in the book of John, Jesus himself calls himself the door. I'm the way that you can enter in by me only. It's that perfect parallel where Jesus says, look, you know, there's only one way to the Father, and that's through me. I'm the door. If you try salvation through any other means, you're not going to be saved, and you will suffer the penalty for your rebellion against God, and that's sin.
We even think of saving one family, God bringing the animals. Christian, are you hearing this? I mean, clearly embedded in true biblical history is a pre-image, a picture of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Lots and lots to think about. Well, we're again just about out of time, Cal, but before we close out, can you give us sort of a trailer for what we'll be talking about in our fourth and final part? Because I've loved this subject for a long time.
Well, I think everybody loves this subject because the subject, of course, is dinosaurs. And, you know, all kids love dinosaurs, but big people are just kids that grew up. So we all love dinosaurs, don't we? And this is a huge, huge topic for Christians. You know, when people come up and say, well, how do you fit dinosaurs into the Bible? You know, does the Bible talk about dinosaurs? Of course, I do talks with CMI, Creation Ministries. We have speakers that travel all over. We've got 7 offices worldwide. And so our speakers go out. This is one of the most asked questions in a Q&A time. People put up their hands, whether they're Christians or non-Christians, and say, what about dinosaurs? It's kind of a loaded question because really they're asking the speaker about 10 questions with one question, because they're asking this. Well, when did the dinosaurs, when were they created? Did they really die out 65 million years ago? If God created the dinosaurs, did people and dinosaurs coexist? Did dinosaurs get on Noah's Ark? If they did get on Noah's Ark and they got off Noah's Ark, then shouldn't there be evidence that people and dinosaurs coexisted after that time period? Does the Bible mention dinosaurs? Just so many questions that really erupt from that one thing. We'll have a short period of time, but I'll try to cover as much ground as I can when we come see you next week.
Wow, we're looking forward to that. Well, thanks again for being with us, Cal, and thanks again to you for tuning in to TCC Radio. Please visit us online at tccradio.com, where you'll find our podcasts and also several more street interviews with average everyday Canadians on this topic of biblical geology. Until next time, I'm Corey McKenna in the studio and on the street, keeping the cross current in our culture.
The Cross Current and TCC Radio are praying for the Lord to align us with a like-minded partner church to continue this outreach radio broadcast in your area. Could that be your church? In addition to equipping you by example to share the gospel, TCC can help your local church gain maximum ministry exposure with both Christians and non-Christians in your community through promoting your church right here on TCC Radio. To explore the possibility of becoming a partner church, please email us at partners@tccradio.com.